we're getting settled in. Before I forget to announce that the new Bible reading calendar is on the back table, so you want to make sure you pick those up so you can get started if you use those. 2016 doesn't even seem possible. Well, as you know, Brother Gibson's been with us all week, so we're not going to announce him all over again. Good to have his son with us tonight. I was having some trouble with him, so I had to call his wife and say, "You're going to have to send somebody down here." So she sent him down. She said he could handle him. He's done it before, so he's here to take care of it. So, Brother Gibson, why don't you come in?
Amen. Oh, that tonight had to be the best special of the week. Now, praise the Lord. They made me an honorary mega man. I feel good about that. They keep reminding me, though, that it's temporary. It's just honorary and temporary, but I'll take it, man. I'll take it. So praise the Lord. It's good to have my son Noah with me tonight, or with us tonight. And he is our youngest son and our youngest child all together. And so he was born, and he is the last of six children. And we thought about calling him Noah Maury. But we didn't. It's Noah Daniel. And we thought about just naming him Caboose. And then a preacher friend said, "Better be careful. You might wind up with a caboose in the middle of the train." So we didn't do that either. But it's a joy to have him with us tonight. And we're glad you're out tonight on a Tuesday night. Good to be in the Lord's house. I thought, I was coughing a bit today, I thought this might be a good night to tag team your pastor a little bit. But then I see he's coughing all the more tonight as well. And so, guys, just be ready. We may tag team anybody. It's hard to know. Psalm chapter 122 this evening. Psalm chapter 122. We'll look at a couple portions of Scripture, but we'll start there. Psalm chapter 122 and beginning in verse number 1. This is one of the Song of Degrees, or Song of Ascension, it might say in your Bible. These were the songs they sang as they made their way to the house of God. And I think that's a good thing, maybe to prepare our hearts before we get here. You reckon that might help a little bit? And a lot of times we get in church, and sometimes the songs that we sing, we're trying to prepare the hearts. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were all prepared when we got here? Amen. For God to speak to our hearts. It'd be a wonderful thing. Psalms 122, verse 1, the psalmist said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Look at that again. "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." I'm not sure Baptists have read that. "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." He didn't say I was sad. He didn't say I was mad. But I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That's what they said. When it's church time, it's time to go to the house of God. He said, man, my heart was just thrilled on the inside. I was excited about coming to the house of God. Now let's turn your Bible over, if you would, in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. And want to look at a verse there, Hebrews chapter 10. Familiar verses, if you've been in church any length of time at all. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. He says, "Not forsaken the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Not forsaken the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Let's look to the Lord in prayer this evening. Father, again, we thank you for the privilege we have to be in this place tonight. And Lord God, I mean that from the depth of my soul. What a joy to be here this week. Thank you for the dear man of God and his wife that minister here. Thank you for this church and the faithfulness of your people that are gathered tonight. And Father, we pray we might be a help in some way tonight through the preaching of your word. I pray you give us liberty. God, I pray you give us clarity of thought, scripture recall, illustrations, anything that might help with the message tonight. Father, we pray you touch our voice. We certainly don't want it to be a hindrance tonight, and we always want to do our best for you. But God, beyond touching our voice, we ask you to touch our heart tonight. I pray we sense your warm breath upon our soul. Might we not preach the message tonight, but might the message preach us. And God, might every heart be open and receptive tonight and allow you to speak to the hearts. We'll certainly give you the praise for what you do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. You can be seated this evening. We read in the Psalms, and the psalmist is saying, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." And then we get over in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, and we find as the writing goes forth, it's almost written in a context like we're trying to encourage the people of God to be faithful to the house of God, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a matter of some is. That's what he's saying. There's a lot of folks that don't that do forsake that assembling together and how important it is to be faithful to the house of God. But you almost see two different attitudes here. I mean, in the psalm, you find the psalmist saying, "Boy, I just can't hardly wait to get to church. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord." When they said, it's time. He said, man, I was excited. I look forward to going to the house of God. And then you find another attitude where it's almost like we have to push people to come to the house of God. Almost to the point that you know, sometimes you just come out of shame because, you know, if you don't come, somebody's going to come visit you or somebody's going to call you and you don't want to be, you don't want that, so it's just easier just to come. Or sometimes we come because we've just made the decision, we've made the commitment, and it's a good decision and a good commitment that we just determined we're going to be faithful to the house of God. And we ought to make that commitment. Matter of fact, God says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is. And he said you'll find it even more and more as we see the day approaching. The closer we come to the Lord's coming back, I think we find more and more people that for whatever reason, I don't know whether it's the devil just battling harder. I don't know what the situation might be, but for whatever reason, it seems like we have to work harder to get God's people to be faithful to the house of God. And there's two different attitudes here. One is, I'm going to be there, and I can't wait to be there. It's going to be good. The other is, we have to go. And try to just, they're two different mindsets. And I think if we miss sight of why we're at the house of God, then we miss the purpose of why we're here, then we miss the importance of being here. And we miss the desire to be here, and we forget why we are here. And I guess I just want to ask the question tonight, what are you here for? Now, I know that's not good English. You're not supposed to use a preposition to end a sentence with. If you're English, that word is a preposition to end a sentence with. I had 4 years English one, so I did learn that part right there. But what are you here for? You say, well, I know that God wants me to be here. That's wonderful. And we ought to be obedient to him. We ought to be here because we know he wants us to be here. But why does he want us to be here? Why is it he would say, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together? Why is it important to him that we be here? Why are we here? Some would say, well, we're here to bring glory to him. And certainly we are. And we can list a lot of things. Some would say, well, we're here. We got the fellowship with each other. And that's good. But, you know, we can bring glory to him in a lot of ways. We can fellowship with each other in a lot of ways. And all that is good. All that is important. All that is vital. But, I mean, the bottom line, you know, church, the local church, this is not man's idea. This is God's idea. And Jesus established the local church in his earthly ministry. And he expects when somebody gets saved, they become a member, and I believe of a Bible-preaching Baptist church. I think every saved person ought to be a member of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Baptist church. I believe that. And then we ought to be faithful to the house of God. Why? I mean, it's God that designed this. Church is not man's idea. It's God's idea. I think when it comes to church, we ought to be, we ought to be organized. He ought to have the preeminence. And really that word preeminence, it means first in rank and first in influence. To have the preeminence means he's first in rank. He is the commander. He's the head of the church. He's God. But also means first in influence means he has the most influence on my life. He has more influence on my life than anyone else. I want to know what he wants. And some would say, well, I'm here because he says to be here, and that's a good thing. We ought to make that commitment and determine to be faithful. But why is it he wanted us to be here? What are you here for? Well, I want you to take your Bible and turn, if you would, to the book of Ephesians. And when he talks about establishing the church, he gave some gifts to the church. And amongst those gifts, Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So he said inside of the local church, God's design is now that He is placed inside there. Of course, some of these offices are done away with, but he's placed inside there. The office of the pastor, what we're going to deal with, the office of the pastor and the teacher. He's the one that pastors the people and teaches the people. He gave the pastor to you as a gift.
Amen.
Did you realize that your pastor is a gift to you from God?
That's right.
I said that to our people one time, and one of them raised his hand and said, is there any way we can give it back? Can we re-gift this thing? We took church discipline right away. I mean, we just don't fool around with that stuff. But he is a gift to you. You know, if somebody I love gives me a gift, that gift becomes all the more precious because of who gave it to me. And the way I treat that gift, the way I take care of that gift, is all because of I love the individual that gave that gift to me. The pastor is a gift. When he established the church, he placed within the church a pastor. And he's there to preach to us, and he's there to teach us, and he's there to take the word of God and deliver it unto us. And the main thing that goes on in the house of God is the preaching of the word of God. I love the singing. In fact, the mega men, they ought to make a CD, get a bus, go on the road. I thought it was wonderful tonight. Top notch. That's the best I've ever heard them sing. It's the only time I've ever heard them sing, but it was the best. It was also the worst I've ever heard them sing. But and the singing is good. And testimonies are good, and the fellowship is good, and all that is needed. It's important to have the right doctrine, to have the right fellowship. I mean, the early church, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And that is all vital, the right fellowship. But it comes back to the main thing that takes place is the preaching of the Word of God. I like the singing. I like the fellowship. I like the potlucks. Since they legalized marijuana in Illinois, we don't call them potlucks anymore. They're now a fellowship feast. We don't have potlucks, and if we do, stay away from the brownies. That's all I'm saying. We got some rough people there. But he said he gave the pastor to you, and the preacher's the main thing that takes place. And so when we come to the house of God, this is the main event right here. And it's not just a matter of going through the motions, and it's not just a matter of laying out a sermon. God has a reason for all this. He's got a purpose for this. Matter of fact, I asked the question, what are you here for? Verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for. He said, here's the reason. For the perfecting of the saints. Number one, we are here to be perfected.
Right.
Somebody said, well, that word perfect, it means to mature. Well, it says perfect. And I understand the maturity. I understand the growing in the Christian life. But he said, for the perfecting of the saints. I come to the house of God because I want to be perfected. I want God to do that work in my heart and my life. Matter of fact, look at a couple of verses with me. I've had people say, you know, that word perfect, you know, really we just want to be mature, be the best that we can, we grow. Nobody's going to be perfect, and I understand that, but that'll be our goal.
Right.
Matthew chapter 5, look there with me if you would. Matthew chapter 5, and begin verse number 43. We talked about going the second mile, I think last night, but down to verse number 43 of Matthew chapter 5. He says, ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so. Look at verse 48. Be ye therefore, what's the next word?
Perfect.
Even as your Father, which is in heaven, is what?
Perfect.
Now, is our Father just mature? Is he perfect?
Yes.
He's perfect. And the Bible said that we ought to strive to be perfect, even as our Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Go to the Gospel of John, if you would. John 17, as Jesus is praying for us. John chapter number 17, in his prayer. Verse number 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them. That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me. That they may be made, what's the next word? Perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Jesus, when he's praying, has said that they be made perfect. Turn to 2 Corinthians with me, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I want you to see this in your Bible. I've learned this. The Bible will shed a whole lot of light on them commentaries. I'm not opposed to commentaries, but I'm telling you, boy, the book, it's just an amazing book. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 11, as Paul is closing out his second letter to the church of Corinth, he says, finally, brethren, farewell. Be what? Perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. But he makes a statement, be perfect. Look with me, if you would, in Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. He talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory, verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Look at chapter 4 of Colossians. Verse number 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervent for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse number 10. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face, and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. You still with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 13. Verse number 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse number 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you, what's the next word?
Perfect.
Establish, strengthen, settle you. Over and over through the Word of God, it talks about the fact that he wants us to be perfect. The Bible said the pastor is given for the perfecting of the saints. Matter of fact, we often quote 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's what we believe. Reproof, that's to show us where we're wrong. Correction, that's to tell us how to get right. Instruction in righteousness, that's to tell us how to stay right. And then he said that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto every good work. He talks about being perfect. Matter of fact, look over at Philippians with me, if you would. You say, well, preacher, nobody's going to be perfect. I understand that. I know that. I know I will never be perfect. But I'm telling you, that's what my goal ought to be.
Right.
It ought to be that my desire is that I want to be perfected. That's my goal. You say, well, none of us are going to be there. I know that. But see, if we take the mindset, you know, I've got faults and you've got faults. We've all got sins. Then what happens is, my sin might not be as bad as your sin, and so my sin doesn't bother me because we've all got sins, but mine isn't as bad as yours. But if my desire is to be perfect, then every sin that I find in my life, whether it's a little thing or a big thing, begins to bother me because my desire is I want to be perfect. I want Him to perfect me in every aspect of life. I know if I lived 1,000 lives on this earth and could live to be 100 on every one of those lives, I knew I would never become perfect. But I'm telling you, that ought to be the goal, that ought to be the desire within our heart, that we come to the house of God saying, I want God to perfect me. I want Him to do that work in my heart and in my life. Philippians chapter number 3. Paul is speaking. And in this portion of scripture, I think Paul really pours out his heart when he talks about that I may know Him and so forth. And look down, if you would, in verse number 12. He said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul said, I don't look at it as if I've already attained. And I'm not perfect. He said, but that's what I'm following after. That I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. That word apprehend, that's a good word. Matter of fact, I've got two brothers. I think I told two brothers that are retired police officers from Muskogee, Oklahoma. And it seems like every time I would go and ride with them, we'd be in some kind of fight or shootout. I don't know if Muskogee is just really that rough, or whether because I'm with them, they take me in areas where it's going to happen. I don't know. My oldest brother, when I ride with him, he says, I just have one rule. He said, if I get whooped, best be two of us what got whooped. Only rule is God. But I would ride with them, and I remember one time we were with them, and we stopped at a restaurant. We were eating, and several police officers were in there eating, and then a call came over the radio about a shooting, and some guys that stole a car and had shot a man that stole a car, and so we're all running out to the vehicles, and well, the police cars are just backing out and going all kinds of directions, and they know what they're doing. They're all going different directions. They're going to box in the location where this car is found with these guys in the vehicle. And I get in the car with my brother, and we take off, and everyone's going different directions, and I feel like we're all alone because they're all scattering, and it's just us. And we come up right behind the vehicle. We come up right behind him. My brother flips the lights on, and the vehicle just slows way down, and then all four doors open up and people begin to bail out. They had just played for me a CD just prior to this, a new rap song had come out at that time that talked about shooting and killing police officers. And so this is what's on my mind when I'm out there. And I'm sitting in a police car. These guys have already shot somebody. These doors open up and they bail out. Of course, I'm looking for guns. I'm just... And there's one in the middle up front, and they slide over to the driver's seat. About that time, all the other police cars begin to come around the corners, and they're squealing in, and the lights are going, and they're all getting out, and they're drawing their guns. You know, get out of the car, get on the ground, get out of the car, get on the ground. I'm on the passenger side of his vehicle, and he's got his door open. He's got his gun out, and get out of the car, get on the ground. And one of the police officers comes over next to my window and kind of leans across the top of the car, and he's got a shotgun. He goes, now! So I got out of the car, I got on the ground. Now let me just say this. You ever seen a fat man on a floorboard? The guy got out of the car, got on the ground, they cuffed him, and they got on the radio, and they said he's apprehended. We got a hold of him. I'm going to think about that. Paul said, if I might apprehend that which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. You know, Paul says, I want to get a hold of why he got a hold of me. Amen. I want to apprehend that which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Why me? Why me? Why did he speak to me that day? Why did he want me? And if the only reason was to go to heaven, he could have took me right there, but he left me here. I want to get a hold of why God got a hold of me. His purpose for my life. Paul said, I don't feel I've attained. I don't feel I'm perfect, but I really want to get a hold of what God got a hold of me. We had a testimony service one night, and had a man over my left side stood up, and he made the statement. He said, I'm just so thankful that God wasn't particular. And at first we all said, amen, you know, that he'll take whosoever. And then I thought for him, I said, whoa, let's back up a little bit. He was particular. He came looking for you. He knew exactly who you are. He knew exactly the way you live. And yet still, he came looking for you. He was particular. He called me by name and he called you by name. And now Paul is saying, I want to get a hold of what God got a hold of me. Hey, I want to come to the house of God. The reason I want to come to the house of God, I want God to perfect me. I want to be a perfect husband. I want the word of God to speak to my heart. And I want to be a perfect husband. I mentioned the other night, my wife has one life to live on this earth, and she chose to live it with me. I want to be a perfect husband. I want the word of God to speak to my heart and teach me how to be a better husband to my wife. I want to be a perfect daddy to my children. I want to be one they can look up to, and I know I'm going to come short. I know I'm not there, but that's my desire. That's what I want. So when I come to the house of God, it's with a mindset, dear God, I want you to speak to my heart. Oh, yeah, I want God to comfort me and all, but I want him to convict me. I want him to challenge me. I want him to change me. I want him to perfect me. I want to be the perfect pastor. I want to be the perfect pastor to my people. I want to be the perfect people to my grandchildren. I want the perfect, when I talk about the perfect father, to children, you know, Daddy, your children need to see you responding to the Word of God when it's preached. They need to see you paying attention. They need to see you amening. I said, they need to see you amening. I said, they need to see you amening. They need to hear that when the preacher preaches forth, you're in agreement. It speaks to your heart. They ought to see you kneeling down in the altar. It's amazing how many men feel they're too macho to come and kneel in the altar. Kneeling in the altar is just a way of saying, dear God, I need you. You spoke to my heart and I need you to help me. I want to be a perfect husband. Boy, I fail in so many ways, but I want to be a perfect husband. And I want to be a perfect daddy. And I want to be a perfect people. I want to be a perfect Christian. I want to be a perfect Christian in this world. I want to be a perfect church member. Are you listening? Amen. We're here to be perfected. Now, if that's the reason to come to the house of God, then I need to go somewhere where the preaching is going to go forth that will do that to my heart. Right. A lot of these churches, anymore, they just get together and all they have is a big praise and worship, and there's no doctrine, and there's no preaching, there's no conviction. No. That's not going to perfect anybody. The reason he established the local church is that God's people have a place to come where we might get perfected, where God does that work in our hearts. I know we'll never be there. I know we'll fall short, but that's my desire. Every time I come to the house of God, God, help me to be a better Christian. Help me to be a better husband, a better daddy, a better grandpa, a better church member. Help me to be a better pastor. I want to be perfected. We're here for the perfecting of the saints. That's why you ought to thank God you got a man of God that'll stand and preach the book. I remember one time I was preaching and one of my men went to another pastor down the road, and it was an older pastor, and I'm glad for that. And he went to him and he said, the thing about Brother Gibson is when you go to church, he preaches right at you. And then the pastor said, who's he supposed to preach to, knucklehead? I thought you went to church get preached to.
Right. Amen.
And when he first said that, it kind of bothered me a little bit. Then I was reading my Bible one day. That helps a lot. And Jesus got done preaching. And some of the Pharisees, it says this, they perceived that he spake of them. You know what they said? I think he's preaching to me. And I went back and read it, and he was. See, one of the reasons to come is to get perfected. I want the preacher to point out flaws in my life. I want him to take the word of God and tell me how to be a better husband, how to love my wife better, how to lead my family better. Not just like a drill sergeant where they're all in order because they're afraid, but to lovingly lead the family
in a way of loving God and serving God together. We're here to be perfected. You know, I think if we thought a little bit, why do I need to go to church? Now I want to be perfected. So I need to be there. I want to be there. I want my heart to be open and receptive to what God has for me. There's another reason we come to the house of God. He says, for the perfecting of the saints. And then he says, for the work of the ministry. Number one, we're here to be perfected. Number two, we're here to be put to work. He said, for the work of the ministry. The preacher's here to preach to you, to perfect your life, to the point that you get involved in the work of the ministry. You're not here just to get, you're here to get in. You're here to get involved. And there's different areas of service that it may take some time for you to be here, and you've got to be perfected to a certain point before you're able to do certain things. But everybody ought to come with a mindset, I want to get involved. I want to be a part of this. I want to find a place where I can serve in this local church. Everybody ought to have a place of serving in this local church. Matter of fact, you can serve by saying amen. Y'all don't get this, do you? You can serve by saying amen. Yeah, absolutely. You can serve by making people feel welcome when they come in. You can serve by smiling. Convincing people you're happy. Yeah. And there's different areas of service. Like I say, some of it, you may have to be here a while. You may have to reach a certain level where God has worked within your heart. But there ought to be a point where you grow to the place that you're able to get involved and you're put to work. Everybody ought to be put. When it comes to this, as a Christian, your life ought to center around the house of God and the work of God. You'll never go wrong. You'll never go wrong centering your family around the house of God and the things that go on there. I don't know how often we've had people say, well, you know, we can't come Wednesday night because Junior has Little League. They got to have their sports. No. When they get older, they're not going to be able to play the sports. I'll tell you what they need. They need a walk with God. They need a life with God. What they need is a house of God. We're here to be put to work. And then he said, for the edifying of the body of Christ, we're here to be prospering the church. This church ought to be a better place because you're here. The words come out of your mouth ought to build up. And you know, there ought to be godliness, not gossip. Yeah, encouraging each other, not criticizing. We're here to that the place might be edified, might be built up. Even Hebrews 10 says, not forsaking the assembly of yourself together as a man of some is, but exhorting one another. You know, to come with a mindset, who can I be a blessing to today? It's not just about coming here for me, but who can I be a blessing to today? Who can I encourage? Who can I exhort today? I think a lot of times we have Christians who fail under the pressures of life, because those that are supposed to be here to exhort them either aren't here, or they didn't come with an attitude of exhorting somebody else. So caught up in all our own battles. I got a call one Sunday morning. It was about 2:00 in the morning. It was a police department. They said, Pastor Gibson. I said, yes, sir. I said, this is so-and-so from the police department. Are you familiar with the... And they called this family's name. Are you familiar with this family? I said, yes, sir, I am. Could you meet us at their house? There's been a tragedy. So I got dressed. I headed to the house. I have no idea what's going on. I know they had one brother that raced some of those Sprint NASCAR deals, and I know he was gone that day and maybe coming back, or I don't know, just all kinds of things begin to go through my mind. There was a teenage boy, he's about 18, he got saved in the church there and was coming real faithful, just real faithful, coming good. He had a younger brother that got saved, had an older brother, wanted nothing to do with it. His mom got saved, his dad had got saved. I showed up at the house and the police department was outside. They explained to me the mom and dad were all gone for the weekend, and this 18-year-old boy was left at the house by himself. They said his older brother was in his house, the one that wanted nothing to do with God. Matter of fact, he had a bumper sticker that says, man created God. He Police told me that he had a party that night, and he pulled his revolver out and was just playing around a little bit, spun the revolver, put the gun to his head, pulled the trigger, and it went off. So the oldest brother had just shot himself that night. So we go inside the house, and they call this 18-year-old boy out, woke him up, of course, and he sees me there. He sees the police officers. We come in, and the police officers explain to him what had taken place. They hand him a little paper sack, and in that paper sack was his brother's wallet and the keys to his apartment, and they explained to him the apartment's not been cleaned. Here's his wallet and the keys to his apartment. They left, and I stayed there with him. He fell on my shoulder, and of course, he just cried. He said, "Preacher, he's my brother that's lost. He's the one that's lost. He's the one that's lost." He just sobbed and cried. I called him by name and said, "Son, what do you want to do?" He said, "I want to go to church." So I said, "I'll wait on you." He went in to shower while he's in their shower, and I'm just praying, asking God to give grace. I can hear him in the shower every so often. I can just hear him sobbing real heavy, just break down and start sobbing. Took the shower. He got dressed. We went to church. We prayed. We visited a while. And people began to come in, and we had services that day. There's a family that didn't show up that day because they got mad over some little thing the week before. And I often wondered, what if that's the family that was supposed to be the family to exhort him? Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. I've had people say, "Well, I can worship God just as well in the woods." I don't believe that, first of all, but if you could, you're not going to be perfected out there. You need to be under the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. You're not going to be put to work out there. You need to be at the house of God. Amen. And you're not going to encourage anybody else while you're out there. You need to be at the house of God. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let's go to the house of the Lord." I want the preacher to preach. I want him to preach at me. I want to be a perfect husband. I want to be a perfect daddy. I want to be a perfect Christian. I want to be a perfect church member. I know I'm not going to, I know I'll never reach it. But it's what I want. I know I've not attained, but that's what I follow after. I want to get a hold of why he got a hold of me. I'd be the best I can in every aspect of life. Let him do. That's all I'm going to be as I hear the preaching of God's word. And when it goes forth, to allow it to speak to me and then to respond. As the man of my house, my wife needs to see me respond to the word of God. My children need to see me respond to the Word of God, and my grandchildren need to see me respond to the Word of God. And then to be involved. That the bowling leagues and the junior football and the t-ball and everything else is secondary. This is the priority. And to prosper the church for the edifying of this body. Amen. What are you here for? Well, I know I'm supposed to be here. God says I ought to be faithful. That's good. It is required, stewards, man. Why do you think he thought it was so important for you to be faithful?